Blog Talk Radio. Yeah. Na 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 na.
Finally the herb come around. Me I grade when me a look for me get it by the phone. Yeah, sweet sensei a come around. Me a take a little shot and pass it around now. Finally the herb come around. Me I grade when man a look for me talk it by the phone. Yeah, when Babylon a come around, ask them where them a go search for. Ever since the herb slow down, police and road boy them in a showdown. Them a search round the compound. You'd know a man and a wee clown. Find a little piece of land and a plot me home ground south. Tell the youth the love is set feel. Too much crack and cocaine I make the world a feel ill, you know. Enough ganja, enough slip a bill. Only thing where you make man feel chill, when me say. Finally the herb come around. Me I quit when me a look for me get it by the phone, yeah. When Calibud come around, a pure ganja man tune, yes, all it from the sound, yeah. Finally the herb come around. Me I quit when man a look for me talk it by the phone, yeah. When Babylon a come around, ah, them with them a go search for. There's something like this sweet, sweet sensei. The first time I take a job was in elementary. Reach high school, get the herb in plenty. Like scare them dope, this water one not lengthy. My stash box never empty. The $50 bag we call that a century. Me stop me own herb documentary. Burn me man, I call that film for 20 years. When me say, finally the herb come around. Me I quit when me a look for me get it by the phone, yeah. Me sense a come around. Me a take a little shot and pass it around now. Finally the herb come around. Me I quit when man a look for me talk it by the phone, yeah. When Babylon a come around, ah, them with them a go search for.
DJ Spider,
no, 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 no.
Big respect, man. Anna, book.
Yeah, I. Yeah, I. No, no, no. When them a go realize, good work, man, I advertise. When them a go legalize, the farmer, man, I beg a legal blight. When them a go realize, government, them a terrorize. Operation in my capitalize. While the farmer man a beg a lick of blight. Yo, finally the earth come around. Me I quit when me a look for me get it by the phone, yeah. When Calibud come around, a pure ganja man tune, just a lick from the sound, yeah. Finally the earth come around. Me I quit when man a look for me talk it by the phone, yeah. When Babylon a come around, ah, them with them a come.
Let them search and talk, walk and mock me. Listen to me clearly,
I'm saying what I mean. I don't smoke coke, herbs is my main feed. Pop out them big gun, like them think they would have scream. Same time I woke up from a dream. Strangest thing just happened to me. Babylon locked me up with just 1 ounce of Cali. When a musician that just took all my belly. Brethren and brethren, tell me, wouldn't you all agree? Pick up on the farmer, man, way out in the west. Just want to sow the seed and reap the good. Babylon, I find it just another test. Now we've run the world, so we must have a problem. Doctors and lawyers, they use it too. Police and soldiers, you know that's true. No matter with the roadblock and the curfew, just with the curb and the test.
I'm a little under the weather. I'm trying to do this the best way I can. And I was thinking, the U.S. has been involved in a war. It goes back over 30-something, 30 years, maybe 4 years. They haven't solved that situation. The question I have for some people, just thinking about my topic, how do you expect them to handle any other wars if they can't finish their first wars? Why they go to war now? Just to go to war? I mean, that makes no sense. War means you got to kill people. Period. Somebody's going to die. But they need to end that first war, that war on drugs. They ain't doing nothing but hurting people and killing people. I saw an article. And it says the ex-presidents of Latin America urged to legalize marijuana. Presidents, ex-presidents from Brazil, Mexico, Colombia. These guys are saying, you know, they calling, this was just recently, they want to decriminalize marijuana for personal use. Change in tactics on the drug war. Okay, they using that war. Yeah, they need to go ahead and do something because it's not, only the rich are getting richer. It's all a bad scam. Oh, excuse me. Got you. Yeah, it's all a scam. You know, these people getting richer. Something that bugs me about the situation. There's a lot of stuff bugs me about it. I always say that. But I'm not understanding what. How did they set that money aside when they create the budgets? The budgets usually come out in like toward October, beginning of the fiscal year. They put the monies in place, but they vote on it about this time. What do they do with the money that they confiscate from their drug wars? They say they put it back into the system, but there's evidence that these guys are actually profiting the bucks, funding the more silly operations. Most recently, the DEA kicked in the door like 4 medical marijuana places in California. Now, I'm not understanding that. I don't get that. The thing that's bugging me about it is, why are you going to waste money on doing that when every day we've been told for almost 8 years that we got to worry about the terrorists? Should you be kicking in the doors of the terrorists? I mean, these people aren't terrorizing anybody. Most of them high and sitting around trying to go ahead and feed their munchies with Kellogg products. Boycott Kellogg. They full of shit. Getting Doritos, eating hot dogs, and ordering pizza. They helping the economy when they go ahead and they smoking all that reefers. I like saying that. Reefers. My grandmother used to say that a whole lot. I didn't know what it meant. All that time and effort coordinating, putting all that stuff together, that was money that they wasted to kick in the doors of these people. Most of them poor people. And they're going to kick in the doors of some of these rich people just going ahead growing all kinds of stuff in their yards and their houses. Oops, I forgot. Those are the guys who funding the political campaigns. Everything boils down to politics. Crime, politics. Banking system, politics. The car wash, politics. Everything boils down to what they do, what the politicians are doing. Politicians are drug dealers, in my opinion. I mean, they got something to do with the whole thing. But what shocked me was this thing recently where these ex-presidents are saying you should make marijuana legal. It's just, this whole drug war is just a way to ruin people's lives. That's how I see it. But these guys are saying they're doing the service. They're helping take drugs off the street. But no, they're just keeping people rich. Richer. Putting money in their pockets. There's no way that you're supposed to have this so-called war on drugs. Ooh. That was shocking. You need to use some exercise, more of that common sense. I mean, almost these last few presidents have all been marijuana smokers. Even George Bush was a bud smoker. He was a pothead. He should have known better, but he didn't want to mess up the people that's going ahead and putting the money in his pocket. And he feel that, hey, look, if we keep this situation the way it is, we can go ahead and profit. Hello, Lola. How you doing? Yeah. The reason I mentioned that Kellogg thing, Michael Phelps won these gold medals swimming and stuff. And Kellogg wanted to drop him advertising with them and all that silliness. They didn't say nothing when Michael Phelps got a ticket for DUI. He could have actually killed somebody, but he was hitting a bomb. Michael Phelps was smoking weed, and now they want to drop him and make a big issue out of it. That's some damn hypocrite. Don't buy that Kellogg shit. Even when you get the munchies, don't go ahead and eat no marshmallow treats. I kind of hate that shit anyway. But I just think they're hypocrites. Bunch of fat cats going ahead, sitting in the room, making decisions about the country, the world, and they're all sipping the best cognacs, brandies, and wines and stuff, vodkas. I don't think the judgment's a little impaired after going ahead and sipping all that shit. I mean, don't you think? No, I'm not. And over here, this war on drugs is, I don't think it's so much that politicians or ordinary citizens are trying to keep this so-called war in place. I really feel it's the big pharmaceutical companies. You don't want to mess with their profits. They may even have the real hit squads out. I watched a commercial earlier. Can't remember what. Oh, it's for depression. Bought some drugs for depression. And it was talking about all the side effects. I was like, oh, damn. I'd rather be depressed if someone's going to be going ahead and making me bleed out my butt and give me fevers and put me into a coma. I mean, ooh. Get that. I think I'd rather be depressed. I mean, it's defeating the purpose. If somebody depressed, they might want to kill themselves. I mean, why go ahead and suffer? Some stupid stuff. I got a caller here. 813, how we doing?
What's going on?
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Hello?
I thought you abandoned us, man.
No, this is Red King here. I've been away for a minute, truth, I know, so I had to come and show some support today and see what was the news, and it's been a crazy couple of weeks, but I have returned. How's it
going?
Hold on,
what, had like turmoil in a porno shop or something, man?
Yeah, I got it, but no, I have, 1 week I was sick, and then I got healed and all that other stuff, I was away, and then I've been going like late shows on BTR, but it's been like 2-3 in the morning, so that's what's going on.
You let me know?
Yeah, you know, I should have dropped it. You know, the government is after me, you know, because last time I was on your show, they were like, we're coming after you. Don't go to True Squad show. Don't go to Chef Rob's show. Every name you want, they were like, you know, we're going to arrest you if you keep going there and telling, you know. So I was like, no. So I finally got away. And
okay, wait, immigration people, I mean, like, my family been having a problem with the immigration thing for a long time.
Yeah, see.
Hope it wasn't them.
And they swear it was probably that, so you know how it is. You know how it goes. You know how it goes, so.
My cousins still can't come back in the country. I remember the time they used to go ahead and leave. We'd see them leave, and they come back, and they have about 30 different names when they come back each time, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't change a whole lot of rules. What do you think, man? You think the U.S. is winning this war on drugs, man?
True. It's amazing that you bring up this topic, because, you know, you and me are always usually on the same page about stuff. And, it was interesting because a few nights ago I was listening to, I think, Illuminated One show, because he had Bobby Hemmett on, and he was talking about, you know, some of this new information, how Jimmy Carter spilled the beans or something on Larry King, and how he was saying that, number one, about $3 million a day supposedly goes to Israel. You know, this is kind of under that table thing, dealing with that. But interestingly enough, you know how I'm always talking about, oh, this is where the money goes with the thing. I actually did some research and was finding out exactly where a lot of our money is going.
Where's it
going?
And
I found out, of course, you know, where we pay taxes, you know. People say, because, you know, the government is taking up money either way. You know, the tax money doesn't go. It goes to the IRS. We know that. Federal Reserve. That's a private organization. So it's just like you paying a doggone Target money. You know, you've got that. Remember, Congress is the only one who has the right to make that. But you know where all the other money goes to that they claim, you know, is supposed to be used for this, that, and the other? All the other money really comes out of your, I think it's like property tax that goes to take care of schools and everything. So that's where all that other stuff comes from. People think they're using all this money for that. No, it's going to the Federal Reserve System. They're getting that. They split up the money with whatever they need. The U.S., to me, really is more richer than they are putting on. They just lie to the people so they can drain them dry for whatever they can get. And they're giving, sliding over millions of dollars to dog in Israel into war. You know, they've got far more than that. And you'd be surprised. It doesn't make any sense. And most of these people paying their taxes, and they put you in jail. They take you, take every dime you got. You know, where's all this money going? You know, follow the breadcrumbs, and you start finding out some scary shit. But really, like, all this thing you think that's going towards, what is it, the schools, the roads, I think it's, let me see, the road taxes and everything, that's paid for, I think, property taxes are like schools and hospitals and such, and then there's, like,
You been to Chicago lately?
No, I haven't been to Chicago lately. I've never been there yet.
Well, let me tell you something. You mentioned the road stuff.
Mm-hmm.
These streets here are messed up, man. You can lose a human being, a car, a house in some of these streets.
Oh, yeah. They're using it for that, but that's what they take. Really, they say there's no money, but, you know, on these little bills, and you look at your phone bills and all that extra tax money, that's what goes off to these states and roads and all that other stuff. They tell you that your tax money, that doesn't even go to the government. It goes to the federal. So most of that, they get a lot of money. Trust you me, when you look at your phone bills and look at your property tax and all this other stuff, all that is, they probably take a portion of that and maybe spend it on the roads. The rest of that, they use for whatever, whether it's war, giving it back to Israel, giving it back to England, paying payments and stuff. It's all, I say, follow the breadcrumbs. Follow the breadcrumbs. And
yeah, that's what I said. This whole war thing is, you know, this war on drugs stuff. What are they doing all the money they got from that? I mean, it's like they owe England a debt. I know that.
Yeah, they do. Thank you. People think I'm crazy when I say this, you know, and it's like, and it was interesting because it said I still want to look some more into this about this, because he's not the first person I heard to say that they're giving money to Israel to rebuild and stuff, $3 million a day or something, I believe it is. The U.S.
Israel,
is very
understand why they need so much money. Why they broke? They doing fine. I mean, those guys, they have a system to where even if you there's a way you can keep paying back into their system even if you don't live there.
Mm-hmm. And people I'm sorry.
And some of these bigger corporations are owned by Jews, and I know they're sending money back to Israel. I'm not understanding what they need that money for. But
I
wanted to go here. I know that they're involved in a whole lot of illegal stuff, and I believe it have a big hand in the drug trade too.
Oh, we know that. Well, think about this too. Even when people think about this, because you got to remember. Remember, a toll is like another way of taking taxes. So these little toll bridges where you give $1 a day, I mean, think about it. You probably get a couple of million dollars every toll bridge, you know, upstate New York. I know we have a few in Florida, 50 cents to a dollar, depending on which way you're coming. So just imagine, you know, 1 million people go through the toll bridge because, you know, you probably have about 7 or 8 openings to go back and forth. Easily, just one of these toll bridges is easily collecting $1 million a day, and that's probably on the low side. So just imagine when you know, that's just one I'm talking about in one state. So I'm just thinking, imagine, you know, you have 5 or 6 toll bridges all throughout it. You can go through 2 or 3 in some states in one area, you know, one city. So just imagine one city, because I know down here in Florida, or in Tampa at least, there are a few toll bridges to go through. and you pay a dollar a day, and you think of all these other millions of people that go through a toll bridge, that's just from the tolls. That's just from one toll bridge, but you got six or seven in the whole area. So just imagine you collect the $7 million from that. And what I've understood, let me see, schools, roads, and bridges are, let me see, property taxes are the ones that fund schools, roads, and bridges. So that's already, no, property taxes fund the schools. Roads and bridges are funded by the gas taxes. Airports, sewers, and water systems are funded by user fees. So that takes care of all the other things, you know, these the property taxes that kind of goes towards some of these hospitals. Part of that money, you get all that. And so that shows you right there that roads and bridges are funded by gas taxes. Well, I thought, quote unquote, toll bridges. Are that toll bridges, they take that money, they may give a teeny bit to the people who work there, if even that, because that's really government funded. But the rest of that money goes to paying Israel's debt, going to England, you remember, because we got to pay back England. A lot of that goes back to them. And like I said, just look at your own city. Look at, think about it. If I actually ask somebody, how many people go through one toll bridge, just one, a day? And you know it's going to be me, and Chicago's the largest city. So I know, I think about New York, and when I live there, you know, how many bridges they have all over, collecting 50 cents to a dollar, depending on where it is. And I'm that's a lot of money.
But them
that's
bridges here.
Yeah.
You can avoid some of them.
Yeah, well, you can. You go all the ways, but just imagine the people that do each day. You get a good million, so you probably they can collect easily by the end of the week a good set. And I'm just estimating one toll bridge, but I wouldn't be surprised on a low estimate whether it's about $3 million just from one toll bridge, and then you have five or six all over the city. You collect about a weekly. You know, I wouldn't be surprised $10 million. This country has more money than it needs to, but nobody's checking the money trails, and people go, oh, well, I'm giving my money to government, the IRS isn't doing anything but spending it, because they get a dollar per dollar, if I'm correct, for what they make of the money. You know, if they make $100, they get $100. If they make 50 cents, they get 50 cents. So I think it's a dollar per every dollar made or something, or, you know, what it's supposed to be now for the Federal Reserve to make that, which is a private organization. Congress is the only one who has the power to make money or sanction it. That's why they killed Lincoln. That's why they killed doggone JFK. Because they knew that they weren't going to get their big cut, and a lot of that money goes to just spending and doing whatever they want to do with it. That goes to England too. That's a lot of that money that goes to England, you know. So you can just imagine and think about it: how many people live in the U.S. and if they were just to pay a dollar each, you know, you already have what? How many millions of dollars? I don't even know. Maybe hitting billions. But you know, in your tax returns, you know, people are going to give, you know, $200 to $300 to, you know, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, depends on, you know, what, how much you make. So you can start on the lower side of what, you know, maybe getting $100 or something, all the way to a couple of thousand, a few good thousand to 10,000. And think about all that money that goes back. So if we just give them $1 each person in the U.S. to the Federal Reserve, which is crazy because there are very few people. I don't even know anybody who's ever given a dollar. Like I said, most people with taxes, you're starting in a couple of hundreds on the low side, all the way up to more. So just imagine that.
Uh-huh. Check it out. What they doing with that drug money they confiscate?
You're right. That's more money.
What are they doing with that money?
That's,
I know they got
a
whole lot of cash and a whole lot of ways to rip you off.
That's,
but what they doing with that money?
Yep.
I like to know where all that cash go.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that was really bugging me is that, is this war on drugs, is it real or is it phony?
It's phony.
And what are they doing? All of the money, all the stuff they confiscate, they can liquidate and turn into cash.
Mm-hmm.
They confiscate boats and cars. They don't even have to sell them for much. They can sell them for a buck and still make a profit. But what are they doing with all that money? This war on drugs.
They're sending it, and they're sending it over to pay debts with England and all. See, that's, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's a whole other source of income for the money, not just the road taxes, but you have this. You have that drug money, which, you know, that's a billion-dollar industry there. And the funny thing is, you know, a lot of people that are spending the big money are getting this, some of the richest people, not just the poor people in these poor neighborhoods, because the sad thing is, you know, they probably charge more to these poor people, but they make it look like, you know, no, you get millions of all these big ships coming in. And there's another thing, because there are these admiralty laws or something too, because they explain about how, and you even notice that when you're dealing with planes and ships. You know, I just went on a cruise recently, and you can actually go to certain countries still with a birth certificate versus a doggone
or a visa.
Yeah, visa, you know, versus passport and stuff. So there are different laws because, you know, if you're flying, then you have to have a passport, which is interesting because you're really over international waters, international land. But see, that's the thing. You've got to remember these are pirates, so they go by this pirate law. And technically, as Jordan Maxwell said and explained it, and a few others, including Jim Mars, they use that on technicality because, you know, when you're coming out of the water, they say you're coming out of your birth. That's why they give us birth certificates because they use that as a doggone technicality, saying that we're property, we are like these admiral laws to symbolize that we are like chattel in one way, but at the same time they can say that we are sorry, I'm getting scatterbrain. We are coming out of our berth,
hey,
like a ship, and ships are the only ones that go up to captains when they come into ports to check, you know, and which they have to do. They have to say, to go up to the captain, what is your berth record? What is the berth record coming into your berth, coming out of the water, the international waters into port? And they check with the captain to see what's on his ship and everything. So you mean to tell me these big barges that get in here that, you know, all these millions of dollars of drugs and they don't look to see what's going on or what's on these things? These people know. They know.
Hold
there
it.
People that...
Hold it. Now, they check them. It's only certain ones that they go ahead and they say they're going to bust.
Yeah.
They got to go ahead and export one big one. Every year, you notice that? They got to go ahead and put out one big one. They grab one big one. They say, we got these many drugs off the boat. And then that they do that just to try to calm some of these stupid people down.
Yeah.
And the stupid people really pay attention to, hey, these guys are just you making fools out of you. Because what they're going to do is they're going to lock your neighbor up for going ahead and having maybe a marijuana seed in his pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Give him a lot of time. So in that whole, while they're getting locked up, you got to go ahead and keep paying taxes to house them in jail.
Yep.
You know, a lot of people paying attention to the whole situation.
And they get paid for that. And then the funny thing is that then you're paying for them, and meanwhile they're in jail, they get these people, give these jobs, they don't pay them dirt for that. If they had them outside of prison, they would have to pay a minimum wage to. And they don't even pay them, I don't think, what is equivalent to a quarter of a fee. To do that.
No. They get real. And the thing, something else. The private prisons have contracts with some of the bigger companies to go ahead and manufacture the products inside the prisons. That was a big thing down there in Texas where they had that riot recently. There was a riot down there in Texas. I mean, these guys, I don't blame them. I'd tell them I started tearing up shit too if y'all was treating me like that. They was treating them like some medieval stuff, man.
And get this.
Treating them bad in there. I mean, I got locked up before, my conditions weren't as bad as what I was reading, what is a modern U.S. prison is. That was
sick. Well, think about this. The people they bailed out are the people that are sending jobs overseas. And number one, they bail you out and you spend another $1 billion in your face saying, ha-ha-ha-ha, we got
you know
the money.
Listen, check it out. They bailed out some of these big banks. Some of these big banks are laundering drug money.
No, yeah, but they're a private-owned organization. Doggone, you can bail out Grandma Sophie's charms and shit stores. You know, these little stores, these little businesses, that if you want to bail out anybody, and, you know, they just, you know, it doesn't make any sense. A lot of them, and a lot of them are doing that, and they can use that because they're using shipping imports, and also with those imports they're making overseas, they can pack it with drugs and stuff, and they're not going to be checked because that's a major amount of money for people to, you know, that's a major cash flow for them. They know they can get these drugs in the U.S., sit up here and spend, get people to spend billions of dollars, because that's the other big industry they have. I'm sorry, but America is a lot more wealthier than people think, and they're telling you, oh, no, we're in a time of need, and and this is so stupid. They're telling people that, a stimulus check and all this other stuff. I said, this is money that people have already earned and everything. They're really giving stuff back to you. Don't be fooled by a lot of this shit. Oh, we're helping you out. No, you know, we've been helping you out.
I'm still here.
Hello?
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 My phone starts screwing up.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Louder.
Hello?
Louder.
Hello?
Nah, I just like doing that, man. Don't worry about that.
Okay. I thought I was. But so you got it right on the head because you know a lot of this stuff that they're sitting here telling, oh, we got to pay this and bail us out. I wouldn't even believe a doggone thing about any bailout. It's like they tell people this, and they use that fear, and so people start giving more money or giving more crazy rights away and doing this stuff, and it just doesn't make any common sense whatsoever when you can just look at all these places the money comes from. But, yes, drugs are probably the biggest thing, the most major thing that people can really, 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 really get money from. Not only think about this, too. Even when you come into the country, U.S. and stuff, they even got a way where, you remember, you get taxed or depending on how much you spent in other countries, too. You know, when you come back and then you go through the duties and they want to see how much you want to
how much you got to declare and all that.
Yeah, if you spent over a certain amount, you want to declare, and if you spend a certain amount, okay, we get to tax you for that and keep that, too. As if, which makes you question because, first, you know, oh, you we got
to
tax
you. Yeah, hold on. Mm-hmm. What you go ahead and you come back and say you gave to a bunch of charities.
Mm-hmm.
That usually worked for my family.
Yeah.
Come back, and we gave to charity, so mm-hmm. it's a tax write-off.
Yep.
My mom's an accountant, so she told me that little
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised with these things. But, yeah, most of this money, you get a lot. And the drug money itself is making more than, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the drug money is making more than the taxes. Well, I'm not going to say that taxes, but the regular tax that, you know, goes to government and roads and schools and stuff. You know, the Federal Reserve makes a nice chunk of change on that, too. But the drug money definitely is something so major.
I want to know where all that money's going.
I know where it's going. You know where it's going. It's going in the fat cat's mouth. They're using it. The rest of that, like you said before, is paying part of it, paying England, part of it's paying debt to doggone fucking Israel, and paying these people's pockets. That's where it's going. A lot of that, and the rest, they do whatever it is. They, you know.
They pay that money to Israel. What is it, to keep them quiet or something?
Well, It has some of this stuff, you know. Well, really, it's all tied back to England because, you know, they always set up their little ports here, there, and everywhere to, you know, because remember, U.S. is connected with England, and England sets up their little colonies and stuff. And I want to look more. I'm not going to play like I know all this about this issue. I've heard a few things about that, and I heard that Jimmy Carter outed this thing, and I've always heard that they've been paying money to Israel, and I keep hearing this. And I'm like, why are they doing this? But, you know, it's a state. And anytime it becomes a state of Israel or something, it always sometimes goes back to England with them putting their foot in different mixes, you know, when you think about colonization and stuff. So I'm going to look.
Okay, wait. What did he say? I saw part of the interview. What did he say?
Bobby Hemmett was saying something about Jimmy Carter outed the U.S. government because, you know, like they play on both sides. You know, the Democrats and Republicans play on both sides. I mean, the same family or same thing, but they use both sides to fund. And when they get like this infighting, you know, sometimes they might let something slip out, he was saying. So it was like Jimmy Carter. Let me check online, too, while I'm here because and see what I find on that. But I know a lot of this money goes to – hold on.
My thing is here's something. I got another issue with the whole deal. It's like all of this stuff that they say is illegal. They don't want to go ahead, and the politicians don't even want to look at the issue when people present it to them. The issue I'm talking about is why don't you just make it legal? I mean, they equating it to what happened with alcohol, making that illegal for 13 years, and he's saying how, you know, things have changed a little bit directly after that. Why can't they go ahead and see that about going with marijuana? I'm not understanding that whole thing.
Because they can make more money this way when it's grown naturally. I mean, think about it. You can grow a plant. Once you get some seeds to plant, imagine how much you can have in your backyard for cheap, dirt cheap. Go to Jamaica and get you a couple of seeds from somebody.
But here's the thing. Is if I had tobacco seeds and I tried to plant tobacco seeds in the soil here where I live, it'd be nowhere near as potent and as good as if I planted tobacco seeds in somewhere like North Carolina, South Carolina, Florida, and Georgia.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Because the ground
is a lot of
fertile.
Go ahead and look at it that you got to look at it that way. Okay, well, yeah, this is good, but I can go ahead and get them, you know, from what these bigger companies doing. I think it's like they eventually soon it's going to be legal, but I think the tobacco companies, since they're used to growing stuff like that, they're going to be one of the bigger ones involved with it, and they're going to work out a deal with the with the pharmaceutical companies, so then some pharmaceutical companies can get their kickbacks and take and keep their lobbyists and all their lawyers out of the Congress to stop them from going ahead and making it legal, because it's not that they're not listening to the poor people, they listen to the big companies.
Yeah.
Got something to do with it. Big companies, while people are going ahead and losing their freedoms every day and they're locking them up for silliness and destroying their lives in the process, and you're supposed to get some person in jail, it's supposed to be for rehabilitation and get him ready to go ahead and come back into society. But when he get out, he can't find a job, he got a background, he can't vote, and it just makes more. So they should be eligible for government assistance, for government jobs, shouldn't they?
Yeah, it's
system, but now they make their lives worse.
Well, they know this? Because I'm sorry.
No, something else I was saying is that they keep their hooks in you for almost forever. You're gonna be watched and followed. If they put you on probation, they're still gonna go ahead. You may have done 5 years for a small amount, and then you got to go ahead and be on probation for another 5 years. Hey, I want them to really justify that.
Yeah. But that's a long time coming with these jackasses in the, around.
I think that it's time for some people to go ahead and really stand up and say something. Yeah, I got another caller. I got 647.
Hey.
Hey,
who's... Hi. I'm Messiah.
Say it again.
The Messiah's calling. How's it going?
All right. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Well, really, I was just. It's just bugging me. I just don't think the U.S. is winning this war on drugs. I think it's all a scam to keep money in certain people's pockets. And I was also wondering.
The biggest business going.
Huh?
The biggest business going. It's bigger than the oil.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest business.
Yeah, you know, that's the same thing. See, I can't understand why, you know, you have Barack Obama now. You had George Bush two terms. You had Bill Clinton. If you look at it, the last four presidents have been potheads.
Yeah.
And so how could they go ahead and continue to say marijuana is bad when they were potheads?
Because they don't have their hand in the pot.
They got their hand in the pot.
They don't.
I kind of think, from what I heard before, I mean, I know they're really like the figurehead puppets. Now, I do think up in there, I mean, they know what's going on, But they really like Bush and Bush and,
Say that again?
God has control of that pot.
Oh, they got the hand in the pot, please. They do.
Well, I know they get a couple, because they're like figureheads. I know that. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, but like the powers over them, the people that tell them, Barack, you jump. Or Bush, you jump, or Clinton, you jump. They got some people over them that.
Yeah, I'm all jumping.
Yeah, shady.
You got them all by the balls, and that's what this big payoff is that's coming up. You know,
what's
just cover it up with a bunch. You think that it's going to cost all that money to do what they're doing? Please, come on now. That doesn't sound like it's going to cost that much. You just need some new training, that's all. And yeah, just set it up. It's all out there. You just got to reorganize. Doesn't cost trillions of dollars or billions of dollars. They can't figure that out anyway. So you got to think of inflation. You got to think of the changes that are going to be going on. I mean, who can put a package together like that overnight? It's beyond me. They've had that coming, and that's a cover-up because they're just going on what people want. They're just feeding off of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
They find out what, you know, people's weaknesses are, and then they say, you know, they'll make you happy, and they'll tell you what it is they're going to give you. And then they, you know, do a couple cover-ups. They take a long time to get it running. Next thing you know, you're into the next election. You know, it's just a big drag on just to keep covering up. That's what Bush was doing pretty much the whole time. What did he do?
I understand what you're saying. They do drag it on, keep it going. It's profitable. It's profitable. Mm-hmm. It keeps a lot of them in pay and justifying them doing what they're doing.
Well, war is profit. You remember, like, you got William Randolph Hearst, who did Spanish American War, started out with the newspaper just to start out because he knew he can get profit. You got Prescott Bush that was profiting for both sides. giving both sides money. You've got the Rothschild families who.
Well, you understand what happened with that. They thought they had their, you know, everything in a bunch, everything in control. They put the fear out there. Oh, yeah,
right.
We got the biggest bombs. We got the biggest, you know, assembly of military hotshots. But you know what? When you put all the countries together and all the ones that hate Americans, you have no chance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they've been doing. They're assembling. And it's not like that, you know, the little people have anything to do with it. It's like the evil ones that are on top that want to take a piece of you know, this wealth.
Yep.
But there's no wealth. That's why they all look stupid. And now that Allah's here, you know what? You're done for.
Thanks.
Because that exposes all the radicals. You know, the radical terrorists that are using, you know, their, you know, God's word to control pretty much their system, you know, and keep these people blowing themselves up and dying for Allah.
Yeah, there's a lot of profit in death.
Yeah.
There's profit in death. And, you know, and once they find a silly issue like this whole drug war,
yeah.
You know, they found profit in that. The main way they profit is they go and they scare you. You got to keep
yeah.
you
You know, the drug war is what saved the world. You know what? He's evil. Like, it's the same. There's always an evil side to everything. You know, that there's a good to this whole drug scene. I mean, it's keeping people sane. Even though, like, you know, you have to see there's horrifying situations in people's lives. But you know what? If you can lose everything for a drug, then you have to know that there's a reason. I mean, it's a euphoric situation that has never been found. These people have a taste of heaven. And they want nothing more than to keep that feeling. And if there's nothing to come back to but a crap, you know, sick,
but the
you know,
alternative, but
world, you know, this is their balancing. And it's unfortunate.
Yeah, but they're also putting, like, additives in the drugs, too.
Yeah, but here's another side to that. Okay, so the drug companies, you know, the ones that sell you all of these prescription drugs.
Oh, yeah, they're the evil ones.
Yeah, so how can you go ahead and say those are good drugs and marijuana is a bad drug?
Well, there you go. That's
when you go ahead and you look at drug companies,
how they're applying it to, you know, the medical field. Like, how many people, like, are using it as a general drug to deal with, I don't know how many, you know, like, there's glaucoma, there's AIDS, there's, you know, cancers. I mean, they're using it for, like, so many things. And it's, you know, it's a numbing, it's an altering. It's, like, it's a way of getting away from your flesh and, you know, just getting into the spirit. You know what I mean? And finding some happiness.
It's cheaper. That's why it's a problem. It's a way for them not to control it. That's the problem.
Well,
because they don't have their hand in it.
They can't. If it's something smart that they do, they can get their hand in it. You remember the lotto? Remember the lotto came out of the numbers in Bolito in South Carolina. They were doing that for years. Brought it up to Harlem, and doggone, you had Stephanie St. Clair and Madam Queen running that racket. Had a house mansion up on Sugar Hill. They said, "Let me get a hold of this." This is in the 30s. Then the doggone mafia got in there. You got Dutch Schultz, and they had a big battle out for that. And then the government said, "Well, let me step in. It's bad. It's bad." Took that shit, the numbers, and turned it into the lotto. Made it quote unquote legal, but it's still doing the same thing because they couldn't have their hands in it and saw how prosperous these people were. They flipped it and used it.
Was born out of illegal gambling.
Much, like, they knew this a long time ago that drugs was going to be the downfall of everything.
Yep.
They wanted to actually control it, and they couldn't. You know, because it was like it was running rampant, and they didn't have any legislation, so they just made it illegal so that they can control it. And they think that made it more, you know, more evil and more underground. You know, and just because they don't have their hand in it, then they made an agreement that they said, well, you know, we won't take you down, so you got to, like, you know, have these little cover up, you know, drug busts. But you know what? That's the payoff. They're actually helping them get their ass out of this, so they got to let it run, and they're just letting it slide. Seriously,
it's getting worse. It's going to get worse before it gets better. But the thing about it is, a lot of people turn their backs on what's really happening until it really has happened to you or affected you, a person you know close or a family member. You know that they got arrested for drug possession or going ahead and being associated with someone like that.
When you find out that God's in charge, then these people are all innocent.
Say it again.
You know what I mean?
What was that?
God is in charge. This is a way of being able to balance ourselves out. You know,
you
like,
mean God in governmental ordinance department, or you mean like a spiritual being, God, or
God, the big Almighty? Okay, the burnt offerings—that's drugs.
Yeah.
Bible.
Cocaine is a drug.
cocaine is the white stone.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
You know, like when they cut people open, you know what they use, right? It's it becomes like a way of being in fasting and sleeping upright and getting in touch with the soul and the mind and then shutting the body down so that you can be up, you know, at night and get enlightened. You know, it's like a way of fasting. It's like, you know, it's not that this is right. This is because we're in a state of turmoil within ourselves. The flesh is killing us, and the only way that we can actually kind of balance it out is being able to get into our soul, and that's by altering our mind. So you find a way of numbing our body and getting into the intelligence of yourself. And then the spirit will then guide you to these, you know, sort of, you know, it, like the incense within your own being and the contact between you and the spirit.
Really?
Okay, but you can do that with ayahuasca and pure marijuana, not have to have these toxic chemicals mixed in there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you have to definitely have it monitored.
But these people are using toxic chemicals in there to get people sick off of it, and not all these so-called drugs, these synthetic drugs. A lot of these things, ayahuasca, marijuana, these are natural things that these people are adding toxic chemicals to make people sick, to get them in hospitals, to dope them up with more drugs, to get them affected and get them hooked, because really that's what they do.
That's a mental thing.
Thing
is forbidden, right? And there is like such an evil world out there, then that separation, you know, when you come down from a high, it's like traumatizing, you know what I mean? But once you get a happier world and that's more content and you give the people what they want, do you think that they're going to need drugs to make them happy?
Well, no, depends on what you do, because some people may still want to do it on the spiritual level. I mean, you're talking about the natural.
Then it'll be just like drinking water or eating food, you know? You know, like it'll be there for you, you know, like no different than, you know, it's the bread of life. It's a new way of connecting to God, you know, but it's because it's forbidden. Every time you say something's, you know, forbidden, then it's time to rebel and break a law and become, like, defiant and rebellious, you know, because they need
that
to find
agree
why,
to, yeah.
And it's
that is
more
true.
Exciting, but it causes paranoia, and it destroys lives that way.
But liquor is legal. I mean, just because liquor is legal, I mean, explain that to me, how that applies to liquor being legal.
What does it say in the Bible about liquor? It says, don't be a drunkard, don't get drunk on beer and wine.
But they were using
hard liquor.
Yeah,
To go ahead and to write the Bible, so I can't really go on that.
Yeah.
Well, I wrote the Bible, so don't worry about it. It's all backwards.
I don't know. But you think the U.S. is winning this war on drugs?
No, there's nothing that the world is winning on unless they get with it. We have to stop everything and reorganize by finding the truth. And we find out that when we see that there is so much deception laid before us and that there's so many lies that have been continuously covered up or stories that have been believed that are so way off.
Mm-hmm.
And once we establish the truth, everything comes together. There's no problem. We are based in evil right now. We're the best of the evils. We're the original sin. We've created a half of what it is that the fruit is. You know, like half of us. So it's done already. Hell is done. We are in hell right now. Now with the spirit, we wrap this, you know, this creation around the spirit, then that's the second death. Then we go from the dead to the living.
The Bible is so repulsive that it has no place in a modern civilized society. Example 1. The vast majority of Americans believe that God exists, that Jesus is his son, and that God himself gave us the Bible and the Ten Commandments. In fact, Supreme Court Justice Scalia has said that 99% of Americans believe in the Ten Commandments. He has also said, what the commandments stand for is the direction of human affairs by God. If 99% of Americans believe in the Ten Commandments, then how can the Bible be repulsive? It's because they've never actually read the Bible. Let's take the fourth commandment as an example. It says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. This sounds simple enough. God has commanded that no one will work on the Sabbath day. But let's look at reality in America. Walmart is open on the Sabbath, and so is Target. Best Buy is open on the Sabbath, and so is Circuit City. Home Depot is open on the Sabbath, and so is Lowe's. In fact, millions of businesses in America have employees working on the Sabbath. Even Family Christian Stores has employees working on the Sabbath. So this is a clear-cut situation. God has told us not to work, yet we work. What should we do with everyone who breaks the fourth commandment? Here's the fascinating thing. In the Bible's book of Exodus, the same book that contains the Ten Commandments, the Bible tells us what we should do with everyone who breaks the fourth commandment. For 6 days, work is to be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day must be put to death. That's right. The Bible demands the death penalty for tens of millions of Americans. Should we line these tens of millions of Americans up and shoot them? Should we put them in giant gas chambers? I think we can all agree that the thought of killing tens of millions of innocent Americans is repulsive. It is repulsive. And make no mistake about it, the Bible really means what it says. It fully intends to be this repulsive. In Isaiah 40, verse 8, the Bible says, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." The Bible says the same thing in 1 Peter 1, verse 24 and 25. And in Psalms 19, verse 7, the Bible says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." Perfect. Since the laws of the Bible are perfect, they should never change. Do you believe that we should kill millions of innocent people because they work on the Sabbath? If not, do you want a book this repulsive to be quoted in public? Do you want it read to children? Do you want it used in our courts of law? Example 2. The Bible wants us to kill most Americans. For example, the first commandment says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." What are we supposed to do with everyone who doesn't believe in God? We are supposed to kill them. Deuteronomy chapter 17 says, "Take the man or woman who has done this evil deed to your city gate and stone that person to death." Deuteronomy chapter 13 says that if a town doesn't believe in God, you must attack that town and completely destroy all its inhabitants, as well as all the livestock. And Leviticus chapter 24 says, "Anyone who blasphemes the name of the Lord must be put to death. The entire assembly must stone him." The Bible is extremely clear on this. We must kill everyone who does not believe in God. Now, if you are a thoughtful, intelligent person, you're starting to realize something. The law of the Lord is not perfect. It is repulsive. Example 3 is really simple. All who curse their father or mother must be put to death. So is example 4. If a man commits adultery with another man's wife, with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress must be put to death. And so is example 5. If a man lies with a man as one lies with a woman, both of them have done what is detestable. They must be put to death. According to the Bible, we need to kill tens of millions of innocent Americans. Plain and simple, this is repulsive. The idea that people would walk around carrying a book that demands the death of tens of millions of innocent people is repulsive. Here's another example of the Bible's idiocy. Rebellious teenagers should all be killed as well. Here's what the Bible says. If someone has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father and mother, who does not heed them when they discipline him, then his father and mother shall say to the elders of his town, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Then all the men of the town shall stone him to death. Example 7 comes straight from Jesus. In Matthew 18, verses 7 through 9, Jesus says, "If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and to be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. This passage is repulsive on at least three different levels, but let's focus on the first one. Jesus is an idiot. Cutting off your hand or gouging out an eye accomplishes nothing. If you are having a problem with unproductive behaviors, what you need to do is talk with a counselor or see a therapist. Self-amputation is absurd and repulsive. Example 8. The Bible's absolute sexism is well known, and it is repulsive. Here are two examples. Women should remain silent in the churches. They are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission, as the law says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church. Let a woman learn in silence with all submissiveness. I permit no woman to teach or to have authority over men. She is to keep silent. We can find dozens of verses that are just as sexist throughout the Bible. The Bible's sexism is both ridiculous and repulsive. Example 9. The Bible fully supports slavery. In fact, the Bible has been used in many cases, including the American Civil War, as an authoritative justification of slavery. Here are three examples. Your male and female slaves are to come from the nations around you. From them you may buy slaves. You may also buy some of the temporary residents living among you and members of their clans born in your country, and they will become your property. You can will them to your children as inherited property and can make them slaves for life. Now look at this. If a man beats his male or female slave with a rod and the slave dies as a direct result, he must be punished. But he is not to be punished if the slave gets up after a day or two, since the slave is his property. In the New Testament, we find this. Bid slaves to be submissive to their masters and to give satisfaction in every respect. They are not to be refractory nor to pilfer, but to show entire and true fidelity. As you can see, the Bible is extremely clear on this. Buying and selling slaves is fine. Beating slaves is fine. Slaves are to show entire and true fidelity. If you are a normal, intelligent person, you are extremely clear on something else. The entire idea of slavery is repulsive. Example 10. The Bible is riddled with repulsion. Take, for example, this verse. Anyone who is captured will be run through with a sword. Their little children will be dashed to death right before their eyes. Or what about this? They shall fall by the sword, their little ones shall be dashed in pieces, and their pregnant women ripped open. Or this? Kill every male among the little ones, and kill every woman who has known man by lying with him. But all the young girls who have not known man by lying with him, keep alive for yourselves. You have probably gotten the picture by now. The Bible is repulsive. You have seen 10 graphic examples of repulsion in this short video. You can find hundreds of verses like these throughout the Old and New Testaments. We currently use the Bible throughout American society. We do that in large part because most Americans have never read the Bible and have no idea how disgusting it is. We read from this book at weddings and funerals. We force people to put their hands on this book in court. We find copies of the Bible in nearly every hotel room in America. But now you know the truth. The Bible demands that we kill everyone who works on the Sabbath. The Bible commands us to kill teenagers who drink too much. The Bible empowers us to enslave people of other nations. The Bible commands that we oppress women and kill people who happen to be homosexual. A book this repulsive has no place in our society. It is time for the thoughtful, intelligent people of this nation to acknowledge this simple fact and then act on it. Would you?
Hello. Now I'm back. I got sidetracked a little bit. There was something being brought up and I felt I need to address. Back to my topic. I just think that the U.S. isn't winning this war on drugs, and they need to give up this fight and put the DEA out of business, go ahead and curb the whole legal system, do something about locking up a lot of cats for small to minor offenses. things are just not that important. It's all dental jealousy. All right, 334, you still on? You still there? What's your name?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Stephanie. God.
Hey, did you learn anything from that that little skit I put on there?
Yeah, I did. I think that this guy is, you know, he's got some points, and you know, he's definitely, you know, wanting to see, you know, that there's some understanding within the ignorance in this world. But you know what? He still is not seeing that God is not writing those words. God is here to explain what.
I'm gonna have to play another one for you. Okay, but you know, not right now. I'd like for you to stay on my topic right now because I think it's a major issue. Even though dealing with religion is a good issue because it's got a whole lot of people following blindly, as we noticed, which isn't a good thing for the rest of the planet. But yeah, I know a lot of people getting locked up for drug possession, and you think it's used as a way to further somewhat of a racist agenda, because when you look at some of the first marijuana laws in this country, the first marijuana laws was because they didn't like the Mexicans coming across the border smoking weed. Now they're trying to fence off the border. Now you go ahead and you look at that time when they first put those laws in place for the marijuana against the Mexicans in the Southwest. And what's going on now with this border fence, now it's terrorists. I didn't understand that border fence. You know, the terrorists didn't come from Mexico. They came from the Middle East. But a lot of them cats are over there smoking hash. So you can go ahead and bring hash in this country from the Middle East. But if you go ahead and you come over here to pick lettuce and other vegetables for almost nothing, you know, that's wrong. That's going to hurt America. I'm not understanding the ideology. And I understand where this whole thing lies. That this makes no damn sense to me. But there's profit in that. It's profit. Racism sells because I can convince a bunch of knuckleheads to go ahead and do what they're doing. Fear. Fear fuels a lot of the racism. Fear sells. That's the broader spectrum of the whole thing. Fear sells. I mean, keep scaring you to, hey, look, these people are going to go ahead and be doing, and they're going to come across the border, and they're going to do this and do this. Let me break that down again. The Mexicans were being outlawed. They were smoking marijuana, and one of the biggest things that backed them with the first marijuana laws is they said the Mexicans were smoking marijuana and raping white women in the Southwest. Okay? So those were some of the first marijuana laws, and I believe it was just before Prohibition, and which was ridiculous, and it was sent back, you know, to the drawing board. It had a problem with it. But they couldn't go ahead and justify it. All of these laws, bounce up to today, all of this stuff today is to go ahead and lock a certain group, certain individuals up. But you don't see a lot of the big-time people getting locked up. You see little people getting locked up left and right. In California right now, the prisons are so overcrowded, they're going to go ahead and start putting people back on the street. That should open the floodgates to all the people going ahead and got problems with this, to run their butts to their congressmen or whatever in the state capitals. Hey, legalize it, man. You know, it's just costing you money. You go throw your hands up. Surrender. This whole lie about the drug, you know, this drug war is just that, a drug war lie. There's just no way that you can go ahead, they can continue to justify it. I mean, there's too many people have seen a lot of people hurt. Somebody's been associated with it. So I'm confused. I'm really confused. I had another call on the line. It was 904. Is that you? Call back in. Like to hear your thoughts. Hopefully, I think that's you, Mush. OK, Okay. Steph, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm so sick of everything. It's not even funny.
So, Steph, you been smoking weed tonight?
No, I wish.
You wish? See, that's your problem.
Why?
You don't
We're
see that?
Canadians. That's the burning bush.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with it. Yeah, burn those bushes.
Burning bush.
I mean, get you just a big...
You know the burn frankincense? What do you think that is?
Just get you a big pile of it and just burn it. What's wrong with that stuff? And when you do that, invite some people over, like myself.
Oh, my God. It's so fun. You'll laugh. Get away.
I mean, really. How often do you burn the bush?
As often as you can get it.
That's that. See? That makes you, hey, it can go ahead and do a lot of wonders for you, Steph.
That's the burning offerings. It's the burnt offerings, the altering of the mind, the incense.
Man has found a way to alter his mental state for eons. So what is the problem?
You think the natives did.
It's more natural, so what's the problem?
The First Nations, they were always burning something.
Not just burning, sometimes they just grab the plant and chew it. So... You hallucinate?
You just don't want to take it overboard. It says don't burn offerings unto a bull. You know, like don't just do it because it's an idol. It's like, you know, taking your time and making it idol.
Listen to me.
Like it's your God. Like do it so you get the incense so you can connect and, you know, have happiness. You know.
Burning stuff, you may not connect. Okay, have you ever go ahead and chew one of these plants? That's my question. Can you answer me?
Not really. I know you do mushrooms that way.
So have you had mushrooms lately?
No.
What's the going rate of mushrooms?
I don't know. I know that they're, you know, like one of the most natural ones.
What's
you know,
the going rate, the price? What would you pay for some good mushrooms?
Probably like $10 a gram, probably.
So how good is it?
Well, it's pretty good. It's good. People like to love it. But you need like a good 9 hours, and you need to be in like an open space. It's got to be like, you know, a summer thing where you're with a bunch of people.
Wait. You said open space. What do you mean to be in like a empty football stadium or something?
No, like out in nature, you know, camping or, you know, going.
Then you might eat some shit that might kill you.
What?
If you out there by yourself, you're going to get hungry. You don't get hungry on mushrooms?
By yourself, but...
You don't get hungry on mushrooms?
You don't want to be by yourself?
No.
It's a social thing. Social thing.
Mushrooms is like a social thing.
If you're doing it by yourself, you got problems. You know what I mean?
No, I want you to
Unless
explain
you're
it.
Me. Unless you're me, of course.
Okay, so... Would you just do the whole gram of mushrooms and then go out
I've never really tried mushrooms, to be honest with you.
Why did you mention it, Dan?
Dan, tell them about mushrooms.
So what have you done?
I'm pretty much in the natural stuff.
Mushrooms is natural?
Yeah.
So you never done mushrooms?
No.
So how can you comment on mushrooms?
Well, because I hear about it. I'm about to try it sometime soon, but, you know, I got to get my, like, I'm a scaredy pants. Like, I don't try anything. I don't, like, try new things.
Mushrooms, oh, you called in to my show. That's what you should have done. So you can let us know how it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I heard you laugh a lot.
Yeah, I do. But I'm a little sick today.
No, you're on mushrooms. So you've tried them.
I never had mushrooms. I never ingested mushrooms. I've seen them. I've been around them, but I never ingested mushrooms.
They taste gross. I heard.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe like licking a dog's ass. That's something else I never done. I heard that's gross,
it's
and I don't want
really repugnant mushrooms.
So you ever done LSD?
No.
You drink?
I know Jesus has.
Do you drink wine?
Yeah.
So how often?
Whenever I can get it. I'm just so broke.
You could bust a window and go ahead and do a smash and grab. That used to happen to me when I was a kid. We used to do that.
What do you do?
Smash and grab.
What's that?
What you pretty much do is you bring a case of beer or wine or a bottle or something up to the counter, and instead of just running straight out the door, you just punch the clerk in the face and run out the door.
That's stupid.
Yeah, well, I was 15. What the hell?
Everybody's got their shtick.
Yeah. You know, it didn't matter. Fuck it. It was.
We're all, like, evil in some way. We're all rebellious. But you know what?
Thing is evil.
Everything is evil. But
it's
now...
Not-
In this day, you just can't be doing things that you wouldn't want done unto you.
Okay.
If you
talk
to God about it, and you're like, you're suffering, okay? Like, this is, I mean, this isn't go out and do this. But if you're suffering, you don't have faith. And you know what? There is an opportunity for you, and this is the only thing. Then you have to, like, go in there with God. You know what I mean? And you know, have...
Stephanie, you ever seen a naked oily man, you know, a stripper? Huh?
What about a stripper?
Have you ever, when the last time you seen some naked strippers, some naked oily men?
Ew, that's disgusting. Those are...
Also, you don't like sex either?
No.
Not at all. You don't like sex either?
I like making love to my man.
Go ahead and reword it however you want to. It's still sex, getting down, getting, you know, just some jungle fucking, and it's the same damn thing.
Not really.
Yes, it is.
That's what the old re-virginizing is, the immaculate.
It's the same old shit. You can go ahead and try to clean it up and all that old stuff, you know, but
No, it's not. When you fall in love, it's totally different.
No, you...
No inhibition.
Last time I said I was in love, I wound up losing my house, my car, and everything. So, you know, I ain't going in a lot of money, so...
But you don't know love until today.
Today. So what, does it come in a package or something?
Well, Jesus is here.
You want me to play another cut for you? I don't think you got the message from the first time. I don't think you got the message from the first time. Yeah, but my thing is, the whole reason why I'm doing this show is because I think the government's blowing your money, stealing your money, and throwing people in jail and costing you more money.
And making more criminals and better criminals.
Making more. What's a better criminal?
Ones that are in jail.
That makes you a better criminal?
Oh, yeah. They learn how to be a criminal in jail.
Okay, I just think you said it wrong. But, yeah, I kind of agree with you, yeah. It's like a gladiator camp. I mean, you know, you can go in and come out and go in and the most docile person come out an evil individual. So you've been to jail?
Yeah.
You went to jail?
Yeah, it was horrifying. I had to go in protective custody because I was a big wuss.
How long were you? No, protective custody? That's different than being locked.
3 days. Almost killed me.
I ain't nothing. I've been held underwater longer than that. I mean, what are you talking about?
Come on now. That was only because I'm with Jesus.
Are you sleeping with Jesus, or is it your boyfriend named Jesus?
Yes.
I mean, you sleeping with him?
Yes.
How's the sex?
It's immaculate.
Really?
Yes.
You got any pictures you can show us?
Shush up. It's none of your business.
You shouldn't have brought it up.
You brought it up.
No, I didn't. You keep bringing up Jesus.
Ask me.
Say that again?
You asked me.
You keep bringing up Jesus.
Yeah, well, he's my man.
Really?
Yep.
How often do you see him?
He's right here. Well, he just left to get a smoke, but...
Okay. What, is he Hispanic?
No. He's a white bread.
It's Jesus.
Irish.
I don't know the Irish guy's named Jesus. I know a lot of Mexican guys named Jesus.
Gentile. And he's white. He looks just like the guy on the cross.
Oh, really? I don't think you got the lesson the first time.
You know what?
I'm the Mother
Mary, okay? I'm the Mother of God. I have the baby already. He's here. We're just waiting on you to come together, okay?
Okay, wait a minute. According to that story, you and Jesus didn't have sex, so how'd you get pregnant?
Yeah, we did.
So whose baby is that? Whose baby is that?
It's Jesus.
Jesus has sex?
There's three Jesus. Okay, like the spirit, right? Came in a trinity.
That's with three different guys?
Yeah, the mama, the papa, and the baby.
Oh, that's freaky. I like it, but it's freaky.
And the re-virginizing is what we're talking about. I was like whored, and I was like having sex, and I was doing it without the spirit. But when the spirit came into me and I was doing it with the right person, it became like, you know, the most perfect thing. And we made a baby that's God, and it became immaculate. So that's where the virginizing comes in.
That sounds freaky. That sounds freaky. Tell me that whole thing again.
Well, when the spirit comes, right? You
right.
then become alive. So that's when the second death comes.
Did right? y'all use condoms?
No, we don't use condoms.
Oh.
When God wants a baby to be here, that baby's going to come. So you don't even need condoms. You can have sex right through your ovulation and you won't get pregnant.
What about having it through my clothes?
You're a weirdo.
Really?
Wow. Don't be weird.
Okay. I'm just asking. Just asking. You brought it up. Okay, anyway.
What else do you want to know?
Huh?
Inquiring minds. What do you want to know?
So, you have sex with Jesus. How often? And so you got like
a... My husband. That's none of your business. It's not what it's about.
You got like a baby Jesus right now, huh?
Yes. And he's being crucified. He doesn't care.
Wait a minute. You gonna? Oh, man, that sounds so cruel. That's evil. You going to kill baby Jesus?
He is in care with the Jewish Family and Child Service. That's where the Jews come in and they're crucifying us because they don't believe in who it is. They think I'm crazy, so they want me to go and see somebody.
They don't
think that it's healthy that I'm calling my son God.
You don't think you're crazy?
I know I'm not crazy. I wrote everything. I did everything. It's because of me. I'm the creator.
Okay, so you ain't smoking weed. And you're not going ahead and doing some LSD. Are you doing heroin?
No.
Some hash oils?
No.
You ever had those? Because you said you weren't doing mushrooms.
No. Burn off, right?
All right, so you're like on adult Ritalin or something?
Shut up. Are you crazy?
No, I'm not crazy. I'm just asking. Did they give you some pills to take or something?
No pills. I don't believe in pills.
Really?
Really.
Okay. So when you used to work in a strip club, you used to feel the same way?
Yeah. Well, like, I was always the one that was telling these girls to keep the legs closed and, you know, why are you
But you didn't keep your legs closed. You got a baby.
Excuse me? I wasn't doing it like a bitch.
What's wrong with that? You missed out. You didn't take the mushrooms. You know that you were next to him, and then you didn't have enough sex. I think there's some three things you need to relax on.
Oh, I had enough sex.
Mushrooms right. Have you a whole lot of unprotected sex.
That
might calm you down.
I had sex.
When the last time you did it?
When?
When you had the mushrooms.
I didn't do mushrooms. I told you.
Today I'm trying to go ahead and catch you. You just keep on saying no, but I know you did.
No, I didn't.
And you never had no LSD?
Nope.
But you drink?
Yeah, sure. I get good when I'm drunk.
You get better when you're drunk?
Yeah, I get vicious. You don't want to see me when I'm drunk.
Oh, what, you get violent?
Oh, yeah, pretty much, yeah. Because, you know, what it does is it you lose judgment and you bring your body to life. That's why it says you can't get drunk, because it's when all the problems happen.
So when did you conceive? When did you get pregnant? You didn't get pregnant off a bottle of vodka, but you got pregnant. So how did you get pregnant?
What are you talking about?
You said you got baby Jesus, and the Jews.
Yeah, he was
baby
born on Halloween.
He was born, so evil baby.
Yeah, I'm Satan, and Jesus is the devil.
Okay, Satan and Jesus is the devil. You it's sure not, you ain't smoking weed?
See, Satan is sat in and sat on. Okay, so to know, or let's say, is to know. The devil is deviler, devail, de evil, or let's see, do of all, die of all.
I think you made that up, and you might be smoking something right now.
It says God can change the names, right?
You tell me. I don't know, but I think you made all that up. So
well, read in the Bible. I didn't.
Hey, you don't have no needles?
Stupid.
I'm not stupid. Come on, show some respect here. I didn't call you any name.
Oh, you're not respecting me.
I'm trying.
You can't make assumptions like that.
All I did was ask. Didn't I ask? I asked a question.
Oh, you
all
said, you, what did you
say? Don't have any needles.
You were like assuming that I was on something.
Yeah, well, kind of, because you don't really sound rational right now.
Well, that's the truth, buddy. That's why nothing in this day is going to ever be anything that is more than nothing. It's like we're all dead. This is all lies. And that's why God's here to show you that it's all lies.
Show me the lies.
Yeah, it's all been lost in translation.
Really?
Really.
Okay.
Everything that's happening today has been sent back, prophesied.
Sent back. Sent back where?
Hmm?
Sent back where?
Sent back thousands of years ago to these prophets.
Oh, man. See, I don't think you got the lesson. You didn't get the message the first time. Here, let me help you out some more.
You can prove to yourself that Jesus is completely imaginary. In less than 5 minutes. Planet Earth, home to billions of people. More than 2 billion of Earth's inhabitants believe in Jesus Christ. They believe that Jesus was sent by God to give them eternal life. They believe that Jesus died, but was then resurrected, and now sits in heaven looking down on and judging us. Yet Jesus Christ is completely imaginary, and we can prove it in 3 simple steps. Step 1. Open your Bible and read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8. Jesus was buried. He was raised on the 3rd day according to the Scriptures, and he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. Then he appeared to James and then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me. We learn 3 important facts from this passage. First, we learn that Jesus proved his resurrection by appearing to people. Second, we learn that it's okay for Jesus to appear to people. He appeared to hundreds. Third, we learn that appearing to people does not take away their free will or harm their faith in any way. Step 2. Read Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. Jesus speaks. Again I say to you, if 2 of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Here we learn 2 important facts. First, Jesus is already here amongst us. He could be standing next to you right now. Second, God will do anything we ask. So step 3 is simple. We ask Jesus to appear. Grab a friend and try this prayer. Dear Jesus, we know that you are in our midst already. We ask you to physically appear so that we can know you are resurrected. We have faith that you will answer our prayers you promise in the Bible. In your name we pray, amen. Now, what do you suppose is going to happen? If you're a normal, intelligent adult, then you know what will happen. Nothing. absolutely nothing. Here's what we know. Supposedly, Jesus is already here in our midst. It would be trivial for Jesus to appear to us. Supposedly, he is all-powerful and timeless. It is okay for Jesus to appear to us. Supposedly, he's appeared to hundreds of people. Jesus has promised that he will appear in response to our prayers. Yet, strangely, Jesus ignores your prayer. How do we explain what we see here? If you are a normal, intelligent person, the explanation is simple. Jesus is imaginary. People who believe in Jesus can try making hundreds of excuses to explain what we see here, but they are all just that, excuses. Jesus is imaginary. If Jesus were real, he would appear to each of us. He would show us that he is the resurrected Son of God, just like he supposedly showed the people in the Bible. Instead, your prayer is ignored. The fact that your prayer is ignored shows us exactly how imaginary Jesus is. It is time for us to state the truth. Jesus is imaginary. The people on earth who worship Jesus are worshiping a being who is no more real than the Great Pumpkin. It is time for normal, intelligent people to acknowledge this simple fact and begin dismantling the last great superstition of the modern era. Would you like to learn more?
Okay. All right, I'm back now. Sorry, we got sidetracked just for the moment. Topic again. It's just this war on drugs, is it real or is it phony? It's all fake smoke and mirrors to me. If you can convince me that it's real, that you need to keep on throwing money down a rat hole, I'm willing to, hey, just give me some better points. I'm willing to listen to just about anything. There's no reason, no way that you're supposed to keep on. This country is got an economic crisis. But they spent, I can't remember what the dollar amount was, but they had four drug busts. And why did they waste all that money when they keep saying that the country is got an economic crisis? Why did you spend all that money on going here and kicking these doors to these poor these people that are sick, most of them? You know, they glaucoma, different cancers, you know, AIDS, depression, not depression, but eating disorders. Yeah, these people are all in these places, and you're going to kick the door into these people here and they're actually trying to prolong their lives? You waste money on that bullshit? I just can't figure that out, man. I was looking at this thing about Michael Phelps. Michael Phelps, the charges, they're not going to file any charges against Michael Phelps. I wish they would do that for almost every person that they know was smoking weed. They did that for Michael Phelps because there's going to be a publicity nightmare, and they go ahead and it's going to keep all the BS down because a lot of people are going to go ahead and it's supposed to be, a lot of the buzz smokers say they want to go ahead and boycott Kellogg. Kellogg is dropping Michael Phelps from his endorsement list. Or they didn't go ahead and weren't that critical. Yeah. You know, Kellogg wasn't that critical about Michael Phelps when he got pulled over for being drunk and intoxicated. He's behind a 2-ton car almost, a 2,000-pound car. And could have killed a bunch of people when he was drunk. But he's at a party smoking, hitting a bong, and they want to make a big issue about it. Man, I when I first saw that, man, I was like, what the hell? That didn't make no sense. I started reading through it, and I didn't understand it. And when I saw that Michael Phelps got arrested for DUI, but they didn't make a big issue about that. They let that go. And this has been since the Olympics. Yeah, forget all that. Sorry, man, but I still got that African stomach, and I still get that little lactose problem, so I don't eat a lot of that old milk crap. I can cook it, but I don't eat it. Yeah, I like to see a whole lot of other people out here get their no charges being filed against these individuals that's caught with a joint or something like that, or a blunt or something. More hypocrisy. do it for them, but we can't do it for them. Michael Phelps got money. They don't want to interfere with that. They don't want to be a part of interrupting that. He made a deal somewhere. All right, Steph, you still online? Steph, you still there?
Hello.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm all right. You sound like your voice changed. You got a cold or something?
Yeah.
Mm. Sing me a song. Sing me your favorite song.
Sing your what?
Okay. It's a guy now.
Stephanie just left the room.
Oh, okay. All right. How do you feel about my topic?
I just got in here.
I'm asking the question.
Pardon me?
I'm going to ask you a question, and you give me how you your thoughts on it.
Okay.
Do you think America's war on drugs is real or phony?
Phony.
And why do you think it's phony?
Well, because the government's the ones that's running the drugs.
Hey, that makes a lot of sense. You're moving up on the list of likable people.
Thank you.
Yeah, a lot of stuff couldn't get in this country without the government's help, without the government's assistance.
Well, the government's totally assisting in everything.
Yeah.
Not only the American government, all of the governments.
But you're in Canada, so how do you guys feel about that?
Well, drugs, like marijuana up here is pretty, it's almost going to be legal, legalized.
Hold on, let me before you finish. It was something I saw from one of the top cops in Montreal.
Yeah.
And it was a piece I saw on him. They were interviewing him. And they was talking about they were arresting some big marijuana guy over there. The U.S. wanted. And he was saying what he was saying was that a person smoking marijuana is not a major concern versus if you're going to go ahead and deal with the drug issue. It's not a major concern versus a person doing cocaine or heroin because the person on cocaine or on heroin will go out and commit more crimes as versus the person on marijuana. They don't.
That's absolutely correct.
So he was trying to say we don't. He kept saying our office don't waste our time when they got marijuana calls. They try not to waste their time. And so is that pretty much the how they feel throughout Canada?
Oh, yeah, oh, definitely. You could walk down the street and smoke a joint, and really, nobody's really going to turn a head.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You try that shit down here in the U.S., and
you're screwed down there.
They'll bring all the Secret Service out with you and bother the whole block and your family and everything. They'll even try and get the doctor to go ahead and help assist you with your birth.
I know.
So it's a whole lot silly. It's a whole lot of waste of money, in my opinion. The thing that really bugs me is I'm looking at the dollars, how much money they spend associated with this, and this economy.
How much money do they gain?
How much? I was going to get to that. How much money do they spend when they go ahead? Okay, how much money do they gain? We'll go back. Yeah, that sounds great. How much money do they gain? A whole lot of people are profiting off of this whole deal. You know, you can go ahead and look at the person that's going ahead and selling drugs versus the government. The government's getting a lot of this money. And something else came up recently was when they did a big drug bust here in the city I live in, and they grabbed a lot of money. So where's that money going?
Into their pocket.
And right into their pockets. I agree. I'm just not understanding that. They keep talking about the economy's doing so bad. I mean, that should be one place they need to go ahead and cut. I mean, they've had this war for over 30 years, 30-plus years since Nixon was president.
How do you think they're funding the war, for crying out loud?
Yeah. So if they go ahead and make this made illegal down here, it'd be a lot of people out of work.
You know what I say we should all start growing marijuana for the government.
Well, the government's already doing it. They just got these secret places already.
Yeah. Well, it's not too secret up here.
Yeah, huh. You know, I kind of like Canada. I've been to Vancouver several times.
That's where they get the best marijuana in the world.
Like I said, I've been to Vancouver several times.
Yeah.
So, And I kind of like it up there. It's the only thing that I really don't like is the weather's a little colder. And even though where I live it snows, and I'm trying to get out of here, but I kind of like it up there. I got along with a lot of people up there. I won't say shocked, but it amazed me a whole lot how nice a lot of people were. I mean, I've seen crime and stuff up there. You can't get away from that. That's everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But I like how I was up there, and with that kind of mentality, I think I can go ahead and really get along up there and maybe do something with my business up there.
What's your business?
I'm in the food service business. You know,
good,
I do a lot of catering and stuff. You know, I'm kind of not doing it too much right now because a lot of accounts are canceled on me, so I got a little free time on my hands.
You should go up to Canada, up to Vancouver. You'd probably make a good living.
Yeah, because I really saw it was nice up there. I was I lived in Seattle too, so that was great.
Oh, that's right next door.
Yeah, that's why I used to go ahead and sneak up there. I mean, I had a blast up there. But I've seen people getting along a lot better up there.
Well, everyone's a little laid back, a lot more laid back. They're not so uptight.
Yeah, that's something else I noticed, man. It was really nice.
There's no rush.
I wouldn't mind going up there, but like I said, I, you know, the weather thing would kind of blow me away. There's not like a place over there where it's like a constant, like, you know, 80 degrees in Canada, is it?
Are you kidding?
Wishful thinking. Yeah, you know, I really wouldn't like that. You know, that would really be great. But I coming to visit, I got to go check it out. I've been looking to trying to get out of here and get up there again.
Calgary's nice.
But I just see that I see some of the people that are going to Canada from here are some of the morons from down here, man. So I hope Canada doesn't get corrupt with that stupid mentality that they have.
Oh, no, we'll just stick a joint in their mouth and give them a good Canadian beer, and that'll fuck them right up.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I have like the flu, so my voice is messed up.
That's all right.
But yeah, I think Canada's really nice. I had a really nice time with that. And something I noticed is that a lot of the Canadian point of view is identical to almost parallel to what you have with the current administration now.
Yeah.
So I think there could be a whole lot of things being accomplished here really soon.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Absolutely.
I don't think that the way of thinking we had for the last 8 years is really hurt the rest of the planet.
You think so?
Yeah, I really think so.
Well, I think it's not. It's everybody's fault.
Yeah, well, I can't speak for the Canadians. I got to speak for where these people are down here taking my tax dollars. And I feel that a voice like mine wasn't never heard.
Yeah.
Because if you're taking my money, you know, I should have a lot more say so on what's going on.
Exactly. You should have some power to that.
Yeah, so, you know, I disagree with a whole lot of stuff. But yeah.
Well, it's things are coming out of the, you know, closet now. So, you know, hopefully things are going to get better, and these people that are supposed to be our leaders are more corrupt than the people that are supposedly corrupted.
I agree. Look, that's my show. I'm glad you showed up.
Thank you.
And please come back again soon.
No problem. I'm the voice of reason for Stephanie.
Oh, okay. So, and your name is?
Dan.
Say it again?
Dan.
Dan?
Daniel.
Daniel. Yeah, this is Chef Rob. A lot of times I do like some recipe readings from different places, comes from like my business and stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes come in early, but today I didn't want to do it too much because I didn't feel like reading anything, so I had like this flu thing going on.
Well,
it seems like the words get magnified kind of crazy when you get to, you know, sneeze and stuff. So.
You need to smoke one of that good Canadian pot and you'll be fine.
When I come up there, you'll save me one, okay?
Definitely, man. I got like a whole backyard full.
Thanks a lot, Dan. Come check my show again, man. Thanks.
Oh, brother. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.